Have it all by the time.
Anticipation. The words of Jesus before he left was, "I in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you." Now he's preparing us to come back to that place. I trust you know him. This is Back to the Bible. I'm your friend Theodore F. You have young people in your home, or are you teaching a young people's class, or your neighbors have young people? Well, The Young Ambassador is a magazine primarily for our younger teens. The May issue is a very important issue. And if you're not reading it, I'd like to send you a sample copy. The theme of it is science and the Bible. This is something very important for our day. The aim is to show our teens that nothing in the book of Genesis contradicts true science. I emphasize true science. Such articles as life from God or by chance. Other articles are miracles. Are they scientific? What about Noah and his ark? Two articles on that. And then three short features by John Whitcomb on showing how that the Grand Canyon and the high mountains were the result of the flood, how kangaroos migrated to Australia, and so on and so on. Some of the very important things proven from true science, and that true science and the Bible are in agreement. I say again, if you're not reading Young Ambassador in your home, or if you have young people in your neighborhood and you would like to eventually show them something, may I send you a free sample copy of the May issue of Young Ambassador, free and postpaid upon request. Simply ask for Young Ambassador, May issue. Our mailing address is back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Thank you. will be with me throughout eternity.
Well, this wonderful singing has been directing our thoughts on tomorrow. Maybe the Lord will come tomorrow. Are you ready to meet Him? But right now, we're living today. And for today, I want us to get into the Word again. And I want us to see one of the most important lessons that can come in any person's life. And I want us to pray first that God will open our eyes to see it. And then let's go into the Word once more. Our Heavenly Father, we have praised Thee again for the privilege we have of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but also as our Lord, as our Master, as our very life, as everything. And we have everything in Him. Grant us to have open eyes to see that by faith we have so much in Christ that we're not appropriating. We pray that You'll open our eyes to see this truth, we pray in His name. And thank You. Amen. We have seen, as we have been studying together, that the people of Israel had to return back into the desert after they'd been at Kadesh Barnea, where they had deliberately turned down the Lord. After 2 years of gracious experiences, they had seen the Lord's hand, they knew what the Lord could do, and now they deliberately turned Him down. I'll not discuss that any further. They went out back into the desert. But they first tried to go up against the people when they saw they sinned, but they went up without God, without the ark, without Moses, and of course the result was inevitable. But when they returned into the wilderness, what an experience that was. There were 2 years of a wilderness experience, which were necessary, discipline and training, preparing them to enter into the land. But the 38 years that followed, years of wandering in the wilderness, were the result of their stubborn unbelief. They were, as the New Testament puts it, as Paul puts it, disapproved. Disapproved not for salvation, but disapproved for the crown of reward. They were forgiven, but disinherited. These are some of the words that are actually used in that 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. Because of their unbelief, God would not go up with them against the Canaanites. But because of His grace and His mercy, He returned with them into the wilderness. There they had their manna, their water, and the cloud for the next 38 years. They really deserved to go back alone. But God's promise to Abraham, which was unconditional, that He would eventually bring them in, made it impossible for God to leave them on their own. He had to care for His own people. He does this for us too. His promises are that sure. We see God's great mercy revealed, for as soon as they returned to the very land, as they returned to the desert, I should say, God right away began speaking about, well, the time, what they should do when they would finally come into the land. And so you see, God shows His mercy is everlasting. Time is not that big an element with God. All this is for a warning for the child of God. It is not for imitation. In 1 Corinthians 10, we read about it, that we should not imitate them in their false and unbelief, but we should follow after Him. But now, I want to make the application of all of this that we have seen and understood and studied now with reference to the people of Israel, at Kadesh Barnea, rather, where they turned down God. And remember this, they did it after they had all the experience in the world and they knew God could do it, but against better knowledge. They even wanted to stone the men who dared to believe God. How stubborn they were. And God says, this is it. I've borne you up now for these 2 years. 10 times you have murmured against me, and this is it. You have now deliberately rejected me and have made a shamble out of my name because you will not go in. Therefore, you'll go back out in the desert. and all of the people over 20 years of age that were responsible for making the decision, these will go back out, they will all go out in the desert, but these will die out in the desert. And the rest, the next generation, 20 years and under now, after the 40 years out in the desert, after 38 more years out in the desert, they will have a chance to go back in. Now then, I want you to see what God has to say about this with reference to us. Taking in the third and the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, it's very, very clear. In the third chapter, in the last few verses, God said, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with him them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Then he further describes their lack of believing him, and they would not enter into his rest. But now the application for the believer, verse 9. "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God, and he that entereth into his rest," God's rest, "he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore labor," be diligent is what he means, "therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick," that means it's living and it's operative and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God saw the hearts of these people. Now he's talking to us, though. Now, what does he mean when we talk about entering into his rest? He is talking about Christian maturity. I think one of the most important things I've got to say to you is coming right now in all these lessons with reference to Kadesh Barnea. So again, the rest of which he speaks here for the children of God is Christian maturity. It is not referring to the rest of heaven, nor is it referring to the rest of death, but he is referring to our position of maturity in Christ Jesus. This rest is where we, by faith, get this, enter into a position of trust, or of reliance, or of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, but more than our Savior, our Master. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's what he's talking about in Hebrews, the second chapter. So great a salvation. What does he mean? Not just the great salvation from the condemnation of sin, that's great in itself, but great from all the other things that he wants to save us and that he has prepared for us. And we have, as mature believers, we can have rest, and we do have rest. Rest from fear, rest from worry, rest from frustration, and all the horrible, diabolical side effects that come as a result of fear, worry, and frustration. Think that through. Maybe that's you, you say. Maybe I'm talking to you. Full of frustrations and fears and worries and so on. You can rest from all of this. There are many Christians that are living far beneath their privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. That is, Christians that worry, Christians that fret, Christians that fear, Christians that are guilt-ridden, so that even the assurance of salvation is often greatly affected simply because we will not believe God. Just like the people of Israel would not go in. They feared. They were afraid of the giants. They were afraid of the obstacles ahead. They were afraid of what might be in the future. They just were afraid. Is that you, my dear friend? Then we can go in because he has provided everything necessary for us. There is a position that we can attain in Christ Jesus by active faith that settles this matter of worry and fret and fear and guilt-riddenness and all of these other things. So that's why he means when he says in Philippians 2 verse 12, the last half of that verse, work out your own salvation. He says, I have given you salvation. I have come in to be within you. Now work it out. For he worketh in you both to will and to do. What is, he excites you, gives you the necessary impetus and whatever is needed, the will, and then your will has to cooperate with it, and you have to give yourself to him, and things can happen. Let me illustrate what I mean. We're all familiar with power steering or power brakes. Now, power steering and power brakes don't work by themselves. But again, you and I don't have to do much there when it comes to steering. I can steer my car with my little finger. But you see, my car will not be steered unless I apply my hand to the steering wheel. And as I turn, in the very moment I begin to turn, the power within the motor is activated and it does the hard work of steering. Same thing is true of the brakes. I simply touch the brake pedal, and the moment I begin to press down on it, the power created by my motor will apply the power to those brakes. The moment I let up, the power is quit. The moment I quit steering, the power quit. And so this is similar to that. The moment I just trust Christ for this or that or whatever your fear, your frustration, or your worry, or your frets, or whatever they may be, if I just trust the Lord. That's what he means when he says we work diligently. And that word work or labor there isn't labor like a farmer goes out and labors or a laborman, but he's talking about there be diligent, be careful, and so on. So God has saved us by his grace and this because of our belief. So God has the mature life for us. That is the abundant life according to John 10:10. This is also available by faith and as we cooperate with him. Many are satisfied with a salvation from hell, but ignore and reject all the other. My beloved friends, remember Kadesh Barnea. God said, this is the end. I will not take you any further. That's where Hebrews 6 comes into the picture. Impossible to renew them because Christ cannot be crucified again. Let's go on. Their years of wanderings began as they returned to wander here and there in the wilderness from Kadesh Barnea all the way back to the Red Sea and back and forth. They didn't go through the Red Sea, but in that neighborhood. The next 38 years were sort of transitional years in Israel's history. They went here, they went there, they went hither and thither. Few events are really recorded. In a real sense, they were years of void. One generation was quickly dying off, and its rising youth had not yet had what we would call a real history. Yet the period was significant as a transitional period in three ways. First, geographically. They neither advanced nor retreated. They simply wandered aimlessly in the wilderness, getting no place. But when the judgment was over, after 38 more years or 40 years altogether, they returned to Kadesh Barnea to enter in. How true this is of many of an individual having been to that place, and as Paul said, disapproved. And they are out in the wilderness wandering aimlessly in this Christian life, never accomplishing anything really worthwhile for the Lord at all. And this is often true of a church as well. Journeying and wandering about, standing still, a stalemate. Then there was another thing, population-wise. Here was a generation of 600,000 warriors plus the wives and all of them over 20 years old died and were buried out there in the wilderness. This was a daily reminder of God's judgment. A new generation of 20 years and younger began to grow up, began to multiply. And there must have been about as great a number or greater population at the end of the 40 years as they were at the beginning. The little thought here, there was nobody over 60 years of age that entered into the land except Joshua and Caleb. Then spiritually, new hope was born. The original covenant and promises were reaffirmed. A preparation to enter were now made. For all these years they had Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb to minister unto them and to teach them and to train them. But finally God says to Moses, you have been here long enough. Now all of this generation is dead. Now go in and take the land. We'll continue here on tomorrow's broadcast. Be much in prayer with us. Child of God, remember Kadesh Barnea. It could be a place where you may be standing today. Do not do what Israel did, but enter into his rest. If we can be a further help to you, do not hesitate to write to us.